in a firm place to stand. What an amazing God we serve. Before we sit down, just give thanks, or as you sat, just give thanks to the Lord in your own words just now. Thank you, Lord, you've caught us up in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, you don't treat us as our sins deserve. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. How amazing, Lord Jesus, that you've made a straight path for us to the Father. You've made a way where there was no way before. Thank you, Jesus. Hello. Tonight could be interesting. We'll see what God does, eh? I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. I'm going to read that again. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. I wondered if you knew it, but we'll keep it off there for now because this is quite good just to hear it. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have what we asked of him. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have what we've asked of him. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, we know that we have what we've asked of him. Once more. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. I've got to read it once more. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Amen. I don't know about you, but the last few times that I read that, it started to stir in me as being truth. The first few times it was just words. Didn't really affect me. I know it's truth in my head, but is that true for you? Would you say as I read it more and more, it went somewhere? Did it go somewhere? This is going to be an interactive session, so we could be here all night. It does, because the word of God is powerful and effective, and it's sharper than a double-edged sword, and it penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God is like a sharp double-edged sword, and it penetrates into our very being, and it brings a separation and a division between that which is of God and that which is of flesh. It brings a separation and division between that which is of the Spirit, that which is truth, and that which is not of the Spirit, that which is flesh, that which is a lie, that which is a misbelief, a misunderstanding. So as I speak this word of God, which is straight out of the Bible and not diluted with my own words, it goes like a sword into my own spirit. Yes, it's going into you, but it's going into me. It's going into us. It's going into my very being. And it's judging within me. It's judging that which is right and that which is wrong. It's judging that which is truth and that which is a falsehood. And it's establishing the truth. Now, the Lord says that he has established above all things. He is exalted above all things in the Psalms. He says, I've exalted above all things my name and my word. So the Lord's word is exalted over my own word. The Lord's word and what God says is exalted over what I say and what I think. So if the word of God comes and it separates, it establishes in me the truth and it separates off the lie. Now, I wouldn't stand here and say, I don't believe that God doesn't give me. When I ask according to his will, I don't actually believe he's going to give it to me. I don't say that. I don't think that. But I don't know about you, but there are motives in my own heart, things in my own inner being that's even hidden to me. And I might not say, I don't believe the word of God, but sometimes my actions or my feelings or my thoughts would indicate that I actually don't really believe the word of God. And that's when the word is so powerful, because it's not me working out what I believe, what I don't believe, what's right, what's wrong, what should I choose to believe. It's not me analysing my own motives and my own issues and my own thoughts and working out myself what's right and what's wrong and trying to put that right. It cuts all of that out. The word of God is what is the powerful bit. It's the word of God that's powerful, like a sharp double-edged sword, and cuts and penetrates and does the work on my behalf. It's actually an easy way to have God's truth established in our lives. It's an easy way to be more and more transformed into the likeness of Christ. It does the work for us. He says that my word doesn't return to me void. I can't remember where it is. Can you remember? It's in Isaiah, maybe somewhere. He says, who's got a Bible thing on there? The word, he sends his word out and it doesn't return to him void. And in the New Testament, Jesus says, go into a house or go into a town and speak peace over that town. And if you're releasing the word of peace, you're releasing peace. If there's nowhere for it to settle, it will come back on you. So you'll receive God's peace. So it's got to go somewhere. The word of God will not return void. Isaiah 55, let's read it. Thank you. So there is a purpose for modern technology. Here we are, Isaiah 55, around 11. Well, let's read 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire and will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So that's God saying that my word will not return void. It will accomplish. That passage we were talking about, the word of God is like a sharp double-edged sword. Let's go there. It's in Hebrews, isn't it? I think. Hebrews 4. Oh, that's right, because at the beginning it says, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God is living and active, so it produces life in us. And it produces truth in us. I'm just having a pause because I prepared something to talk about today, and I'm just checking that God wants me to talk about it. We might change tack slightly. Well, we have changed tack already. I wasn't going to talk about that. Let's go to James. James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. There's one verse sandwiched in the middle of that that I want us to pick up on, and it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Yay! If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he believes, he must ask and not doubt. Let's talk about wisdom for a few minutes. James 3, verse 13, talks about two kinds of wisdom. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you find envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And the Lord says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it's that wisdom that God wants to give us. That's first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. We're going to just read through some Proverbs. What I wanted to talk about tonight is not, I'm just not going to talk about, because it's not quite way what God wants us to do this evening. I think he just wants us to stay with the importance of his word. So I think what we'll do for a minute is, I'm thinking, I love it when God does this. We're going to pray for a minute. If you can stand up and just join me to pray. Right, let's gather up the front in a bit of a circle, because I think what we're going to do is we're going to pray and we're going to ask God for wisdom regarding his word. Last few weeks we've had a few people speaking to us, and what's come, there's been a similar theme coming through, and one of those things that's coming through is us loving and serving one another. Another theme that's been coming through is about God's word. And I think God wants to impart to us tonight. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants to teach us. We can gather in two rows. We can have two circles, just so that we're all kind of down this end. Let me just get my, I might stand over here, sorry. God's word is powerful and effective, and we have a measure of the word in our lives, and we commit ourselves to the word to a degree. But I think God wants to do so much more with our lives and how we line our lives up with the word of God. And I think what we're going to do this evening is to ask God for that. We're going to ask God for his wisdom. And we've heard already that if we ask according to his will, we know that we have what we've asked of him. We know without any shadow of a doubt that it's his will that we live according to his word. I mean, that's not rocket science. We know that's his will. We know that it's his will that we live by his word, not by what we want to do ourselves in our own way. That we live by his wisdom, which is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, not earthly wisdom. There's only two wisdoms. The wisdom that's not godly is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. That's one wisdom. So earthly wisdom is of the devil. And often in our lives we've got a mixture of godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. It's not rocket science to know God wants us to live by his wisdom. And we know, because we've already talked about it, that if we ask according to his will, he's going to give it to us. And we know that if you ask for wisdom, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. He gives generously to all without finding fault. So I don't know, some of you might pray in tongues, some of you might not. That's okay. We're going to pray all together. And you can pray in tongues, you can pray in your language, you can interchange between the two. But our focus is we are asking God for our own lives and for this bunch of people to start with. We're asking for ourselves, for his wisdom and for his word. And don't worry about other people around you. You just connect with the Lord, but we're going to all speak out together at the same time. Okay. Lord, you say, if you lack wisdom, ask for wisdom. God, I ask you for wisdom. God, I want wisdom. I want to know your word and know your ways. I ask for wisdom. God, give me wisdom. God, give us wisdom. Spirit, you are the spirit of wisdom. Give us wisdom. We want to know your ways, your word, your thoughts. Give us your wisdom, God. As you've got something to pray out so that we can all agree with you, just come and take the mic. It doesn't need to be a long prayer, but it's just something. If there's something that God's given you, a way of praying, then come and take the mic and pray it out and we can all agree. God, thank you that you give generously to all of us without finding fault. And I pray, Lord, for us in Kingdom Faith London, and yes, beyond, but I pray for us here, Father, that each one you would give a fresh revelation of wisdom, a fresh download of wisdom. To each one, you'd give a fresh deposit of truth and the word for each one, Lord God.
Father God, I thank you that, Father God, in your word you say to us, Lord, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so, Father God, we're asking that you will bestow upon our lives, Father God, the fear of you, Father God. We will not fear man. We will not fear our circumstances, Father God. We will not fear our lives or our bosses or anyone that we're interacting with, Father God. But, Lord, that you will fill us with the reverent and worshipful fear of God. Because, Father God, you say in your word that that is the beginning of wisdom, Father God. And you will bestow it liberally and mightily upon our lives, Father God. Father, I pray that you'll give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Father God, that we'll be teachable and learnable, and we cry out for that spiritual wisdom, Father God. That, Father God, we will not be self-confident fools, Father God, walking in folly, but, Father God, that we will, Lord, be people that walk in your word, walk in your righteousness, that we'll have righteous, uncompromising righteous, Father God, and right standing in Christ Jesus, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
In a minute, I'll just put the mic in your hand, just to warn you.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think what you were. Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. There's lots more.
said, Jesus, you have become our wisdom from God. You are wisdom. Jesus, you are our wisdom. Wisdom is a person. Jesus, you are our wisdom, God.
Jesus, I pray that you'd make us a people just full of wisdom to live our lives, that we wouldn't just depend on our own strength or our own understanding, but Jesus, you would give us your eyes, Father, as we live our lives. That Jesus, in our relationships, you would give us wisdom, Jesus, that we'd be, you know, slow to speak and quick to love. Instead of being quick to judge people and quick to criticize people, Jesus, I pray that you'd give us wisdom to love people, to interact with people, Jesus, and that in that, Jesus, you know, you'd be glorified, that we please you, Jesus. So, Jesus, I pray that in our relationships, you'd make us a wise people, that we wouldn't run how the world runs, but Jesus, we'd run how you run, Lord Jesus, that we'd love like you do, Jesus, that we'd live our lives like you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that in you, Jesus, there is everything that we need, that in you, Father, our lives are found, Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, that you continue to lead us, Lord Jesus. You continue to show us the way, show us how to love people, show us how to just bring people alongside us, to walk us alongside people, Jesus, that we take our eyes off ourselves and, Jesus, look at you, because everything is found in you that we need, Jesus. So, Jesus, I thank you that wisdom is found in you, Jesus.
Father, we just pray that you would pour your wisdom over us. We don't want the wisdom of the world. We want your wisdom, so grant us that. Amen.
Doesn't wisdom cry out in the streets? Wisdom cries out in the marketplaces. She cries at the gates. She cries at the city. She cries out to the simple and says, listen to me, and I will give you wisdom. I will give you wisdom and might, and I will give you understanding, and I will cause your simpleness to become wise and your understanding to become knowledgeable.
Father God, you say in Ecclesiastes 8:6, I believe, is the wise mind will know what to do, when to do it. And that's your wisdom, Lord. You give us just simple ideas, simple words, but it's so powerful, and we want more of your wisdom, Lord. Thank you.
Father, I pray so you unite all the hearts in here, so we begin from this place, Lord. So we'll unite in love, we'll unite and see each other, Lord, as your children. So you give us your love, you'll give us your understanding of who we are. You'll give us your wisdom of who we are. So may we use it. May we unite in this place, Lord. You surround us by your love, you surround us by your angels, Lord, and you send us out to the world because you said that they will know you because of your love. So I pray, Lord, now in this place, may every heart be open, may every spirit be open in this place right now, and you fill us all with your holy spirit, Lord, and double it, Lord, now, please, double it, Lord, now, please. My saga de la raigede, hai sagi de la ragai sigi de ragde, and everything that wants to come in between you and us, Lord, may be destroyed, may be smashed and damaged, Lord, so no obstacles between you and I, no obstacles between all of us here and you. Let's stay united in love and wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, dear Father. Lord, and we are your children. We are children of the King. And like King David told his son Solomon, that when someone would ask him a question, what do you want? David said to his son, ask for wisdom. And when God came to Solomon, he said, Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon said, I want wisdom. And Lord, we proclaim it over this group of people. Grant us the wisdom of Solomon. Lord, impart us. Lord, that the world will marvel, that the world will come and say, wow, where does this wisdom come from? Lord, it will pull people to the church, will pull people into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. You know, we declare you, Lamb of God, that you're worthy to open up the seals and to, you know, to start the tribulation, Lord God. You've promised us victory in tribulation. And, you know, it's your wisdom to turn us into the bride without spot and wrinkle through that, Lord God. Let us embrace that, Lord. You know, there's a man on the throne. He has a human body, and, you know, he's a mighty judge and a king with resplendent majesty. And he's a bridegroom as well, and we will rule with him in his judgeship and reign with him in his kingship, and as his bride we're forever in his heart. Amen.
Lord, I just want to thank you so much for the privilege and the honor of just coming together as people, or just to worship you in spirit and in absolute truth. I just thank you that, Lord, we're able to just cast down all cares, all burdens, and we're just able to just leave it outside, Lord, and just come into this sacred place where we can just find you, seek you, and feel your presence actually through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you that, Lord, you've impressed upon our hearts the whole significance of finding you and wisdom, and what your wisdom actually means, and how it's folly to the world's wisdom. So, Lord, I just know that you are pleased. I just feel that the Lord is saying he's so pleased that we're just here in this space tonight. He's just really pleased. This is my son with whom I'm well pleased. This is the scripture that's coming to me. We, the sonship, gathered tonight, just praising and worshiping and just dwelling in his tent. So, Lord, I just, yeah, thank you.
Father God, I thank you that, as you say in Proverbs, that he who finds wisdom finds life. And we thank you, God, that wisdom dwells together with prudency. And wisdom says, by me kings rules. And we just honor your wisdom, God. We thank you, Lord, that it's a privilege that even as wisdom calls on the street, we choose to be ones that hear the cry of wisdom on the street, and we stop by and we say, yes, we will be taught of you. And we thank you, God, even as in Proverbs 6 says that she has mixed her wine and her meat on the table, and she is she's a delight. And Lord, we ask for that wisdom to be the delight of the Father, that we will walk in that wisdom, as even as Jesus walked in wisdom. Lord, we ask for that. And we wear wisdom like a garment. And we thank you, Father, that your wisdom looked like foolishness to the world. That to look foolish to the world, but still in your wisdom rule and reign with you. Then we ask for wisdom to do that. We ask for knowledge. We ask, Lord God, for your fear that is the beginning of wisdom. To embrace your fear is to embrace wisdom. Even as she stands in the path, God, we teach us, Lord, as you've called us to be those that come to the ancient path and ask of the way to walk into, Lord. We come back to ancient parts, Lord God, and we ask for the ways of wisdom. Then we may walk once again in the ancient ways, where your wisdom and your counsel leads us, God. And Lord, we offer our mouths and our hearts once again to you, Lord God. That any place, Lord, that we have given to the wisdom of the world, Lord, we repent of that. And we lay it down once again at your feet. What the world has embraced as wisdom, what we have taken on from the world as wisdom, Lord, we lay it down once again. And we call you the wise one. You are the wise king. You are our wisdom, Lord, and we embrace you, God. And we thank you for tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord, I thank you for just pouring out your spirit on us. I thank you for just raining down. And we just trust, Father, we just believe that it doesn't go back up. It's down. It's here to stay, Father God. And we just thank you so much. Like, I really believe, like, we've all desired this. We've all been asking for this. We've all been reading the signs that this is exactly what you want. You wanted us to gather here tonight, Father God. It's been on all of our hearts, this hunger, this need, this craving, just to go deeper, just to be drenched, Father God, in your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for opening up our eyes, Father God, because it's time now. We need to really go deeper in your word, Father God. We need to really use it and own it and possess it, Father God, because it's the thing that we've got, Lord. Like, you've called us out to possess this land, Father God. You want us to be going out, Father God. You want us to preach. You want us to speak, Father God. You know, wisdom is crying out, Father God. It cries out in Hyde Park. It cries out in Oxford Street. It cries out in Holland and Barrett and Peckham, Father God. Like, wisdom is crying out, Father God. And I just thank you, Lord. Like, you've just, you know, I just see us in, like, these fluorescent yellow wellies. And, like, you've given us, like, it does look foolish. Like, it looks foolish to everybody else, like these childish bright yellow wellies. But that is wisdom. Like, we can pull them on and we can run into the puddles. And you've called us to do just that. You've called us to, like, we are children of God. Like, I just thank you so much for the fact that we can all just have that absolute revelation of the fact that we are children of God, Lord. And I just thank you so, so, so much for equipping us, Lord. I thank you for that you've given us rain jackets and you've given us wellies, and they're so bright, like, people can see them, Father God, even if they do get all muddy, Lord. Like, we know that we can just go home and we can just wash them. So I thank you, Father God, that we're just not afraid, Lord. I thank you for just giving us that sense of, like, desire to just run and grab and seize wisdom, because it's all around us. So let's just not just ask for it, Lord. Let us know that we've got it, Father God, and let us see it. Let us see it in every corner and crevice of this city and in our lives, Father God, from when we wake up in the morning to the time that we go to bed at night, Lord. And let us go and grab it, Father God. Let us hunger and desire for it, Father God. And let us share it, Lord. Because it's exactly like, you know, when you're a child and you let go of a balloon and you think that you've lost the balloon and you feel absolutely distraught. Like, you know, I've been in a season now where I'm like, oh my God, I've lost wisdom. I've lost God. I've just lost it. But actually, I haven't, because it's just floated off and somebody else has received it. And I know that I can just come back to you and I can just be like, Dad, can I get another balloon, please? And you've just got, like, this endless supply of balloons. And you know what? Like, I can go out and I can give them out freely. So I just thank you, Father God, that as you bless us with wisdom, we just lavish it on others. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Yeah, God, we thank you for the wisdom that you give each one of us to bring transformation in the situations where we spend our day-to-day life, whether it's our workplace or our family or our friends, God, that you would give us insight and words of knowledge and abilities to bring change. God, this would be beyond our intelligence or our abilities. It's something that can only have come from you. And as we ask you to give us that wisdom, God, we'll see the transformation in the situations that we're in, that will point people to you, because there's no other way that we could have known this information or come up with this idea. God, it has to have come from you, and we just pray for that real practical wisdom that can bring transformation to society and culture and everywhere that we set our feet, God, for your glory, for you, for the way to be pointed to you, God.
Yeah, God, I just wanna ask that you help us to put you first before everything else. God, I thank you that you give us this wisdom freely. We can take of it as much as we want, and I thank you, Father, that you've given that to us. And I just pray now that you birth a desire and a passion inside of us to want to know more about you. God, you know more about me than I know about me, so why wouldn't I want to know more? And God, I just want you to birth that passion inside of me and that desire, Father. Jesus, I thank you that we can turn to you in times of need. And I pray that we turn to you in the good times, in the bad times. Whatever time we're in, we turn to you first and not last. But we don't try and solve things ourselves, but we turn to you always, God. And I thank you that we can do that. And I pray that you help us to do that as well, Father.
Yeah, Father, we just thank you for a shift tonight. We thank you for shifting in our lives. We thank you we're not just firing prayers out tonight, but we know that you're here and we know that you're real and you're so excited to give us wisdom. God, and we just say we're excited to receive it as much as you are to give it, God. And we know that with wisdom comes strategy, God, so we just ask for that divine strategy. Yeah, just the practical strategy that you want to give us tonight. For each of our situations, God, just come and speak to us right now. And as we go out into the world, God, just give us that divine strategy in our worlds, in our situations.
This is from Isaiah 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from the roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, that he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy, with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist.
You know, in John it says, I think it might be John the Baptist that says it, but it's in the beginning of John, he gives a spirit without limit. That spirit he gives without limit, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and counsel and power and knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That he gives the Spirit to us without limit. Wow. Pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. Wow. As we take communion, once you've taken communion, what I think would be good to do is just to get into pairs and obey the word. So right at the beginning, the word was, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. So what you're doing in your pair is you're not asking for wisdom for the other person, because we're going to do what the word says. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. I know that in my life I need wisdom regarding a specific situation. So I'm going to get in my prayer and I'm going to say, Lord, I need wisdom for that situation. Give me wisdom for that situation. But it's good to do it with someone else because they agree with you. So take communion and then do that in your prayers. And I think what I might do, as that's closing, carry on until you finish, but I'm just going to speak some proverbs, which is just about wisdom. over us as we finish off the evening. Okay. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the foundations of the earth. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life to you and an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her, she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, she will exalt you. Embrace her, she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction, do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. And that last one, again, that we read earlier. Pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have them all on your lips ready, so that your trust may be in the Lord. Wow. God, thank you for this evening. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for putting on our hearts what's on your heart. Thank you, Lord, that tonight you've given us wisdom in showing us that you desire us to walk in wisdom and to ask you for wisdom and to apply ourselves to your word. Jesus, you are wisdom. Jesus, you are the word of God. The word is wisdom. Lord, thank you that you've revealed your heart to us. And Lord, I pray that today would be like a springboard. You've been preparing us, Lord, for really getting hold of your way, your desire for us to get hold of your word and get hold of wisdom. You've been preparing us. And Lord, I thank you. And I pray that today would be a springboard for us as a people, as well as individuals. God, we want to know you. We want to press in to know you. Lord, though it cost all we have, we want to know you. God, thank you. Thank you.